Some of the things you're going through, maybe God throwing stones to call your attention, to save you and change your course. Now remember, but I forgot yesterday, that he gave me a scripture. And then he took me back to that scripture and said, that word, Pastor remembers Zechariah. I say, your ministry said it, Zechariah. And there God said to me, he said, that word is not applicable for Nigeria. You have proven it in your life, and now it's applicable for Nigeria. And we'll go to Zechariah chapter 1. And we will look at verse 12. Thank you, Lord. I got to know the Lord in 1983. So it's some years ago. That's about 33 years to the glory of God. And I've never had a cause to want to look back. Because God is good. Amen. Verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talks with me with good words and comfortable words. Tell somebody, God is answering Nigeria with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry. That's what he's coming for me to do today. By his grace. Thank you. Let's just pray. Heavenly Lord, let's come into your presence with hearts bowed, head bowed, knees bowed. Confessing our sins, repenting of them, and asking for the cleansing and the purging of our consciences from all dead works to serve you, our living God. Thank you for the call of God upon my life as your handmaid. Pray your mercy for the energizing, Lord, and the strengthening. And the great grace of the mantle of the prophetic to be upon me now, even as I pray and as I speak forth, that I will not speak my own words but will speak as an oracle of God. In the name of Jesus, pray that you will anoint all our eyes with eyesight that we may see, and the scale that is covering our nation will be torn and will be removed, that your kingdom indeed will come and your glory will be revealed, and all eyes will see together in Jesus' name. Amen. 14. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous. My husband will remember. I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I'm very sore displeased with the heathen that art is. For what the affliction. Therefore, saith the Lord. The Lord was only a little displeased, but the devil has helped to forward the affliction over Nigeria, like he forwarded the affliction over my life. Knowing the calling of God upon my life. I said this was before I met my husband. He knew. And he wanted to kill me and destroy me even before I entered into my ministry. That is what is happening to Nigeria. Satan knows that Nigeria, God's hand is mighty upon this land. So he is helping to forward the affliction over this nation. But therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. God is returned to Nigeria with mercies. He said that to me 33 years ago. And look at it today. Did he not return? Is he not returning? He has returned. He's returning. And he will yet return. thus said the Lord, I am returned. The Lord is returned to Nigeria with mercy. My house shall be built in it. I did not know that I was going to be married to a pastor. And the house of the Lord will be built in the Union. Nigeria, Zion Church has been built in you. And that is the thing. He will arise and have mercy. For the time to favor us has come. Zion's church, remember. Remember, the first shall be the last and the last shall be the first. The sons of Ham, the breaker company. Many people have prophesied this about this nation. Great hand of God. And God's house shall be built in it, said the Lord of hosts. And a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, my city through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. This word God told me, I didn't understand it. There was no prosperity definitely at that time. I didn't even understand what it meant to comfort Zion and to choose Jerusalem. But he chose Jerusalem. And he comforted then, me, 33 years ago. If he did it then, he can do it again. So he says, Nigeria, your cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Amen. And the Lord will comfort Zion in Nigeria. Amen. And the Lord will choose Jerusalem. Amen. Then I lifted up mine eyes. And behold, four horns. And I said unto the angels that talked with me, what be these? And he said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Brethren, there have been horns that have been scattering Nigeria. You know them. First is corruption. Is so endemic in every strata of this society. Every level, corruption is so endemic. Nigeria, from independence, has suffered from bad governance. Scattering our nation. And if you look at South Africa, you will understand what I mean. God had to raise Obama to help him break the jinx over this mindset about black people by making him clearly demonstrate that there is nothing inherently wrong with the black man and that the black man can be a good leader. Because if you look at the story of South Africa, you will say, why did they ask for independence? Because the country has gone several years backwards, deteriorating every day, retrogressing every day. No good succession plan after Mandela. And if you look at all around Africa, bad governance has is a great problem. It's an endemic problem. It's a horn. And so that is why it had to be. Obama must not live in disgrace. And to the glory of God, highest approval rating, the one of the very few, I don't know if there are many, who has been able to hand over the baton to an incoming president elect. President, what do they call them? A president that is, you know, is not elect yet. Nominated candidates combine for presidency. First time he could raise up and say, I hand over the baton. Because usually they used to distance themselves because their approval rating used to be so bad. Here is a black man that is backing the very first woman who was faithful in serving him. That is the reason you're faithful in another man's business. God will give you your all. Was faithful serving him, and now he's backing her in to end her inheriting her own. Bad governance. Bad governance. Lack of unity. Brother William said it. Tribal sentiments. Ethnic sentiments. Instead of operating as one nation, like America did with federalism, physical federalism, but unity. America is united. Because a house that is divided against itself will fall. And that's why you see they're very patriotic. It is an honor in America for your son to serve in the military. It's an honor for your son to serve in the military. And then when they pay the ultimate price, those parents are honored. And those, yes, they're called gold star parents. Who paid the ultimate price for the nation? Why? Because the nation is united. There's different ethnic, only three major. There are different ethnic groups, but we can be classified under Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo. And amongst ourselves, we can have no unity. It's very sad. It's played us. And you know what? They played us against ourselves. Divide and rule. Right from the beginning, French government had assimilation. But we British had divide and rule. And they have been dividing us from the onset. It's a horn. It's the history of Nigeria. Those of us that know the history of Nigeria know it's the history of Nigeria. Divide and rule. Some people were born to rule. Some people were born to serve. God forbid it. It was easy for the then colonial government to be able to rule us by incorporating that policy. Those of you that know history or divide and rule, was different from the French colonialists. They did the policy of assimilation. That's the third one. The fourth one. We've just never been able to have a breakthrough. In maintaining, the Bible says that a strong man retaineth wealth. God gave us oil. give us oil. Bad governance, corruption, disunity became weak. No good policies. Instead of having a policy of increasing, we abandoned agriculture that we had found useful. Was the bastion of our government. And we were prospering. Cocoa, house, groundnuts, pyramids in the north. I remember cotton. Cotton in the north. We had things that we were using before oil came. But when oil came, bad policies, we abandoned. He shared where? Any koshisha, I want to leave. He wake it up, like see your call. Go and see Ada, go Igbe, go Igbe. When the black gold came, oil came, because we abandoned farming, which we should have added to it and increased. And today, we would have been one of the greatest suppliers of food to the world. What was Joseph known for? What wisdom did God give Joseph to feed that every nation was coming to buy from Joseph? We have the tropics, tropical weather. Everything you throw to the ground, without anything grows. We don't have seasons like winter when nothing can grow. God has blessed this nation. Bad policies. We forgot the tradition. Forget not the landmarks of the fathers. We forgot the traditions of our father. And we forgot Ishiakwe, farming, which God gave to us. Our greatest gift. Our inheritance, in fact, because it's from the land. And that we will always have with us. Even when they are talking about organic and inorganic, the best food is the food that comes from us, because we do not have to use fertilizers to grow them. These are the kind of food that costs so much abroad. Organic food. Economic problem. Wrong economic policies, economic issues has always plagued this land. God gave us a leader in Baba Awolowo, but he never rose up to that place. Nigeria never had. To win the war, all he had to say was change the naira. Why can't we change the naira again? Why can't we change the currency again? This free fall, when it was going to happen, I said, this free fall, I don't think it's a very good... They said, oh, this economist has said it. It's free falling down to 400 naira to a dollar. The people are crying. The people are in pain. Now what do we do? And he answered, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel and Jerusalem. I will not be able to finish this ministration today. I will give you half. And as the Lord will allow, Pastor may allow me to give the second, because there's still a second part to it. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then I said, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah. I've given you the horns that have scattered Nigeria. But the carpenters are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their hand over the land of Judah to scatter it. Brethren, the answer to the fraying of the horns, that is the casting out of the horns, does not lie in Abuja. Does not lie in Mesobia. What do you call those people? Masop. Does not lie in that. Because God does not have a heart to destroy or to divide this nation. That is against God's divine plan and will concerning this land. It lies in the church. And what are the carpenters in the church? Let me quickly say it. The first one is humility. God must develop our character before He hears us. Like I said yesterday, the Bible says, whatsoever two or three of us shall agree as touching, it shall be done. Is God a liar? There have been many more than two or three praying. How come it's not being done as it should be done? But He said, in my name. Two or three are gathered in my, that is, in my character. And the Bible says, when the people are one, there's nothing that they can imagine that God will not do. But you know, you cannot have oneness and unity if you do not have the character of God. Because only by pride cometh contention. So the people, there must be humility, submitting one to another to have oneness. Humility. The church must wear these cloaks. We must express, become these four carpenters. One, humble humility. Second, we must be an expression of love. Thirdly, we must demonstrate divine wisdom. And fourthly, we must walk in patience. Because it's only with patience that we can inherit if we do not faint. Now look at Jesus. Pastor said it about Him today. He demonstrated the four in Garden of Gethsemane. We saw Him humble His will to the will of the Father. Not my will, but Your will be done. Remember, He did not sin, but He became sin for us out of love for us. No greater love than a man that he should lay down his life. He walked in absolute divine wisdom. He was wisdom personified. He had power to deal with those who had come. When they came to catch Him, one of His disciples drew up the sword and cut the air and said, what's wrong with you? Why do you want to spoil divine plan? And He took the air, stuck it back, says, leave it. When He said, I am He, they fell. A person that said, I am He, and they fell, does that not tell you that he has more than enough to deal with it? But like the sons of Issachar, he understanding of the times, and the church needs to have the divine wisdom to understand the times and what Israel ought to do. Wisdom was what Solomon cried for. Said, I'm only a young man. How can I lead your people? Ask for wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing. And the last thing to inherit is patience. Patience. We have need of patience. After we have done all this. Now the second part. is from Genesis. It's a continuation. It says, when two or three. So when we were praying, we prayed till about 6, by His grace, 6 a.m. or something. And then we needed to have a little break to come back for 9. Okay, I think we came back for about 10. And whilst during that short time, God spoke to me. And this is the start of that, and this is the continuation of it. When two or three are gathered, and in my name, there is nothing that they will imagine. There's nothing that they desire that God will not do. Because whatever they ask in it, on earth, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 32. And I want to talk to you about Jacob. Jacob wanted to return. But there was a great problem. Great problem. Because he had hurt his brother, Esau. There was a great problem. He had hurt his brother. So he sent his messengers. Let's start from verse 6 because I don't have too much time. I just want to quickly hit her on. Chapter 32, verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau. And now he's on the way to meet you. And 400 men are with him. Jacob was greatly afraid. Punchline and distressed. As usual, Jacob always thinks he's very smart. When he was afraid and distressed, the first thing he did was to divide the people who were with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two groups, thinking if Esau comes to one group and smites it, then the other group which is left will escape. If we are faced with every temptation, we should know that there is a way of escape, but not a human way of escape, a divine way of escape. After he had done that, then he now turned to God and said, Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return. That's why Pastor said, when you are tempted, pray. He prayed. And then he put God in remembrance of his word. Plead your case that you may be justified, says the Lord. Come and plead your reason. Said, who said to me, Lord, you said to me, return to your country. But he did not admit what he did before he left the country. And to your people, and I will do you good. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercy and the loving kindness and all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I passed over the Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, you from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and smite us all, the mothers with the children. And you said, he minded God again, I will surely do you good, and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. He knew God was a faithful God. And that if God said it, God will do it. What has God spoken to you? What has God spoken about Nigeria? What God has spoken about Nigeria? Still talking about Nigeria, God will do. Amen. He's not a man to lie. Neither is he a son of man to repent. Has he spoken? And will he not do? Has he said? And will he not bring to pass? Brethren, let me tell you something. In Egypt, there were 10 plagues that were going on. But there was a land called Goshen that did not suffer any of the plagues. We have to establish ourselves as a Goshen in the middle of Egypt, using the four carpenters of humility, love, divine wisdom, patience, which we cannot obtain except by prayer and watching. And verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. This I call the alone encounter. Brethren, God is calling us individually first. Amen. And then a group, because it must first of all be individual, because a group is made up of individuals. And the power of the individuals becomes the power of the group when they join together. A group is only as strong as the weakest link. Because the weakest link then becomes the open door through which the power can be dissipated. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Does this remind you of something? Jesus was left alone in Gethsemane. Before any great move, before any great answer, great deliverance, before any thing that you, before some, if you've been looking for something, if you must have an encounter with the Lord, alone with the Lord. But if you have not learned to be alone with Him on a constant basis, it becomes more difficult when those things come. Jesus set the disciples away apart from Him, Peter, James, and John, and then He went further and wrestled. And let me tell you, there will be no blessing until the wrestle is over. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Now listen, God was telling us in Ijebu. He said he was the one that asked God, deliver me. He prayed, but when God came, he did not know it was God. He was wrestling with the man that came. God is trying to take that thing away from you and say, no, leave it. It's mine. God is saying, I want to give you the way of escape to this thing. He says, no, give it to me. It's mine. And it was so powerful all night. All night, the eye, that major instinct, the eye is so powerful. God came. He said, God, deliver me. He quoted to God. And God will not come the way that you expect Him to come. Like Elijah, it was God was going to come by fire. He thought He was going to come by wind, but He came by a still small voice. He came like a man at night. He wanted to take away from Him, but He was wrestling with God. And He wrestled with Him all night. All night. Till daybreak. And that was the answer of the prayer. You know, many a times, the answer, the way of escape, that's why we pray one prayer. Strength to receive. And eyes to see the way of escape. Because God may give you the way of escape and you don't have the strength. And you don't have the eyes to see because of no paradigm shift. He had to have a paradigm shift. Because all the time he came to the Lord, there was no time he accepted his faults. There was no day he confessed his fault. He always told God what his own blessings was, what God's side was, but what was his own side. He was always reminding God. You know that scripture? If the people, give to me Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7. Now come and see it. 2 Chronicles 7. If my people who are called by my name. That's the character of God there again. if my people that are called by my name, he said the first thing, shall humble. That's that humility, Carpenter, again. You cannot run away from it. That's that humility. It says, learn of me from a meek and lowly in heart. Pray. Seek. Crave and require of necessity my face. And turn from their wicked ways. That was what he didn't do. He kept telling God what God needed to do. But he didn't turn from his wicked ways. And that was the way of escape. Because God is not a man to lie. Neither the son of man. You must turn. You must accept it. To turn, you first have to accept that you are that person. And then you turn. You cannot, if you do not know who you are, how can you turn away from what you don't know? You have to first of all know what you know. Then you turn away from their wickedness. It says, and turn from, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now go back to Genesis 32:24. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he did not prevail, see, look, let me tell you something. God will not take your will by force. That is what makes us different from angels. Angels, some angels, majority of angels are robots. There's some like the three. Lucifer is fallen. The remaining two, my angels, Michael and Gabriel, that have wills. But every other angel is a robot. And that's what makes us, that's the power that makes us like God. Because we have our will to lay it down and to take it up again. See, God will not, he will not override the will of man. And that was why God could not prevail, because Jacob refused to give him his will. Now see, he could prevail in Jesus' situation because Jesus said, not my will. Not my will. Even though Jesus was God, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And it was only after that that the angels came to strengthen him. If Jesus was the second person of the Godhead, when he introduced himself and said, Elohim, could humble his will. See, God could not prevail. Says Jesus went somewhere and he could not do mighty miracles because of their unbelief. The will of the people were not given to him. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, God even wanted to help him. He touched the hollow of his strength. Please stop wrestling, you this guy. He put it out of joint as he wrestled with him. But he still didn't see it. Then he said, let me go. The man said, God said, let him go for the days. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. He says, but the blessing you always have. Okay. What is your name? See, what is your name? What is your character? Who are you? And in shock of realization. It was the first time, shock of realization, whispering, you can see, you whisper, would you see? He was humbled, says, I'm a supplanter, I'm a schemer, I'm a trickster, I'm a swindler. These are the four horns that have troubled me. See, there were four there. Supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. Four horns! Supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler! These are four horns that have troubled him. And he said, your name shall be no more called supplanter, but Israel, contender with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with men. Then Jacob said, tell me, I pray you, what is your name? But he said, why is it that you ask my name? tongue. Give me that in King James, because I said prince. I want that word prince. And the angel of God declared a blessing. You see, says until after he accepted the thing that he had been praying for came to pass. Then Jacob said, tell me, I pray, what in constant is your name? But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And the angel of God declared a blessing on Jacob there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, the face of God, saying, I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared and not snatched away. I want King James where he said, no longer Israel, but prince with God. Verse 28. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and men, and hast prevailed. Amen. I pray that the Lord will raise a Zion church. Because in Mount Zion there is deliverance. Princes who will have power with God, with men, and will prevail. That is what Nigeria needs. And Zion is arising for the set time to favor Zion. Let's go. Amen and amen.
Just a minute. What Nigeria needs now are princes who will take over the air. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. We are to displace him by becoming spiritual princes who will wrestle in the place of intercession and prayer and take over the airwaves, so that people will be hearing what heaven is saying, not what Satan is saying. And that is the thing, is the message of this hour. The answer does not lie in Abuja. The answer does not lie, certainly does not lie in the legislature and their padding. It only lies in the church. And we must arise in this hour, to the challenge of this time. Let's stand to our feet. We're just going to pray. We'll go straight into praise and worship and close. Zion. your hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. We are the answer. We are the answer. We are the answer. Humility, love. Wisdom and patience. Everybody, say this after me. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I have heard your word. You have an answer to the Nigerian problem. And I understand that that answer is in the church. And in me in particular. Here I am, Lord. Send me as a carpenter. As a carpenter. To scatter the horns that have been scattering Nigeria. And therefore, now I place myself in your hand to exercise humility, love, to exercise wisdom, to exercise patience, especially in the place of prayer, that I will release your power prevailing in the air, displacing the prince of the power of the air, filling the airspace in Nigeria with righteousness, with peace, with joy, so that your kingdom will come and your will be done in this nation of destiny. We say, you have returned to Nigeria with mercies. You will build up Nigeria. You will build your house in this land. Your kingdom will come and your will be done in Nigeria. Here I am. Send me. Nekatolo mashofredes. Liprinika toro masaya. Zefriki toro mashalinga. Zefrika gromatolo. Lopriki tushka. Lambergo matolo matolo lambukuro matolo mutufushi. Tolo mashtukuro matolo matolo mutufushi. Sofrega gromatolo akagrom. Tolo matolo mashtufresh. Zeria, you could to free. Number Kamatolo Mutufish. Safraga Kramatolo Mustofish. Number Kamatolo Mukramatolo. Shof to Fidufish. Tolomangar to Fidufish. Shiki to Fes. No Frides. No Fridias. Nangaras. Jilikas. No Frides. Nieras. Tolomas. Two Frides. Nieras. Nikas. Tolomas. Two Frides. Two Frides. Zofredegas. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We have a great responsibility that has been placed on our shoulders by the Holy Spirit through His servant, His handmaid. I know things are difficult in the nation at the moment, but God will turn them around. Stay in that place like Jacob. We're greatly distressed now in Nigeria, but we will not leave God until He blesses us, and bless us He has, and bless us He will, and He will turn the situation around because of us. Because of us, not because of the world, certainly not because of our leaders, but because of us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honest, because of Zion, because of the Zion Church. He will help us in Jesus' name. Personally, Mommy got it. And corporately. But the corporate cannot be strong if the individual is not strong. It is the strength that the individuals bring together that now form the corporate strength. So each of us has a responsibility under the Holy Spirit by the mercy and the grace of God. Build up your humility. Build up your love. Build up your wisdom. Build up your patience. We all come together to pray. Bring those things with us. And then as carpenters together, we will scatter all those horns. And the will of God will be done in our land. I'm very optimistic. I'm very, very, very excited. God is going to do great things. Yeah, we're facing challenges, but we faced bigger challenges than this in Nigeria. And this one will be bread for us. Amen. They are bread. This one, you will see what I'm saying. In a few months, we'll scatter all this nonsense. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We're not going.